Great to gather together with you. You see what God would have for us. And so towards that end, let's go ahead and dive right in. We are traveling through Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4, if you would, this morning as we continue to press on to the Word of God together. On the heels of the announcement that Tim made, in light of the letter we're going through, I think about in his chapter 4, one big part of chapter 4 was talking about the point of or the goal of body ministry. How everybody has their place in the body of Christ. We all have our gifts, and we all matter, and we all should seek and step up to that. It's such a blessing to do that. And I think about this Wednesday night, being our communion and afterglow time. There's many ways where we live out being a part of the body of Christ. But one of those, of course, is body ministry, where we get together and pray for each other and just let God work in all our lives. And so this Wednesday night is when we gather to do that. It's our communion and afterglow night. I really encourage you to set that time aside and come join us this Wednesday night for communion and afterglow. I look forward to those nights, and I hope you do too. Ephesians chapter 4 is where we left off. As you know, we teach the Bible around here. I don't go through and just cherry pick different passages or you know, pet passages where I want to harp on those or something. We just go through the Word of God, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and that way we get the whole counsel of God over a period of time. I also say that so that if something happens to hit you, you don't say, "What'd you do? Follow me all week? Are you aiming at me or what?" Nope, that's God's job. My God is just to hold it forward and let him minister as he might. Now, just a reminder, in Ephesians chapter 1 through 3, God begins by using Paul to just soak us in God's goodness, in his love. It's three chapters full of God soaking us in the riches of his grace. And if you haven't read that recently, I encourage you to do that. It's just a good portion of Scripture to meditate on and just consider when you're struggling or something, just all the forgiveness and the hope and life that he's made us new and what that has brought with it into all our lives. It was only after that that Paul then, as we come to chapter 4, says this, chapter 4, verse 1, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you are called." He says, now, based on all God has done in us and for us, now let him work through us is the calling. If indeed you've received Christ as Savior, let that work now cause a certain response, a result in our lives. And these things we're reading now as we press on through the letter are not ways to earn the first three chapters and all those truths, but what those first three chapters should look like in our lives as we live them out. We saw that he began by saying, walk worthy in unity. The first thing that marks a life that's walking in response to God's blessings and love, and it's an interesting point, the first thing he says is going to be unity. He says, make sure you guard. Keep the unity amongst the body. Avoid divisions. Don't let anything get in there to separate believers. The second thing as we work through chapter 4 that we've seen is he points out just that point, that we're a part of a body. The body of Christ. We're all members of the family. If you receive Christ as Savior, you become part of his body. Paul loves the example of a body, a physical body representing the body of Christ. And that as part of that body, we all have our part to do our share in the building up of one another. But then thirdly, we saw this last week, but just to remind us, he says, now the third thing that's going to mark this walking worthy, this walking in response to God's love, if he indeed has touched our lives and all, is that we need to understand we are new creations. When you receive Christ, he didn't take the old you and just kind of put a new veneer on. We are brand new creations. Praise God. New. And so he talks about in verses 17 through 24, he says, put off the old man, that old life, and make sure you're putting on the new man. And it talks about all that that involves is putting on of the new man. Matter of fact, let's pick it up in verse 22, where he says that you put off, concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust. So be free of that old life. You don't have to live with that old nature dominating anymore. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So we're to put off that old way of living, the old way of thinking, the old nature and all, and walk in this new creation that he's made us. And Paul frames it as, put on the new man. And that sounds so good, because it is good. that I can walk in newness of life and new priorities and all, and I can walk in who he's made, this new man that he's working in me and all. But for some of us, that might seem kind of abstract. Okay, put off the old, put on this new man created according to God and righteousness and holiness and all. For some people, for many people, they would say, you know, that's hard to lay hold of. I need to make it practical. Tell me, what does that mean, put on in true righteousness and holiness? What's that look like every day? Are you someone that maybe you're like that? Paul, make it practical. Let me understand what this really going to mean as I go about my day. Great, because here it is, verse 25 through the end of the chapter. So we pick it up today. Therefore, it was based on that we're new, we're brand new creations. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Here we have some very practical, direct examples of putting off and putting on. Now that you've heard it, are you wishing you would have not got down to such a... Let's go back to keeping your general. Are you better off for having heard now? We shall see. One pastor put it this way, and I have to admit it, I kind of got a giggle out of this. One pastor said this. He says, up until now, Paul has been preaching. Now he's meddling. Now you're getting personal, Paul. You're getting specific on me here. And that's exactly how it should be. For God's work in us and for us is personal. Therefore, so should our response be. It's to be very specific in its application. Putting on the new man is very personal and is very practical. I've called our time together this morning. Speak truth. Let's pray. Father, you showered your love upon us. In you we have found such grace, such mercy. Indeed, we confess, Lord, so often our view of you is too small. Help us this morning to really lay hold of how awesome you are, how loving, how great you are, the great love. You're sovereign. You rule over all. And how truth resides in you. Help us this morning to lay hold of what you're saying in all this. Lord, thank you for making us new, setting us free. Sin doesn't have to be in the driver's seat anymore. How we thank you for that. Lord, I know you've taken this old guy and worked a miracle. And this room is full of miracles. May this morning just be a continuation of that work. All to your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Again, these verses 25 through 32, are what putting on the new man should look like. Or they're examples of what putting on the new man, what the new creation is supposed to look like. Remember, it isn't to earn something. He's not saying, do this so that he'll love you. He's already established that in the opening chapters. His love, his grace, his mercy is ours. No, he's just simply saying, now, go live out. Make sure you're living out the new life that you've been given in Jesus. Now, I want us to begin by placing these put-offs and put-ons side by side from these verses. And we're going to use the PowerPoint to do that in just a minute. But notice, for each putting off, there is in Scripture, be it in this direct text or in other passages, there is a putting on also. The Lord doesn't just say, don't. No, he's saying, now, instead, do this. Let my work in you have this effect in you. So it's not just a don't do, it's a now, you're free. You're free. Do this instead. Well, let's take a look real quick. We're going to work through these verses step by step. And we're going to see that the first thing that he says to put off is lying. And the next, what do we put on instead? Truth. Pretty straightforward, but we're going to spend some more time on that in a few minutes. But the first thing, verse 25 says, put away lying and instead speak truth. The next thing we're to put off from the next verse says is to put off anger. Be angry, he says, and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. So put off anger. And instead, I put the word kindness. Now, we've gotten that from a verse way down to verse 32. It's kind of a lead-in to all the statements that are going to kind of fit here. The forgiving one another, to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, but I've kind of captured that. You'll see the word kindness appear a number of times in our list. It's just to point to the number of answers that the Lord has here. But the next thing he says that should mark our lives, let him who steal no longer. Put off stealing. Rather, let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. So don't take, instead, what's he say? Work that you might have that which is to give. Don't take, give. Earn and give from that. Verse 29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. So we're to put off corrupt words, words that tear down and all. And instead, we're to put on what? Good words, I've labeled it. Words that build up. The idea of edifying is to build up. Speak that which builds up people, not tears them down. What marks your mouth? What marks things you and I say? Verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. So put off grieving the Holy Spirit. Stop grieving the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you received for the day of redemption. And I put here next to it, now put on yielding to the Holy Spirit. And again, we'll amplify more on these, Lord willing, today or in the weeks ahead. Instead, yield. Put on yielding. Don't resist. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. But instead, learn to yield. The next thing he's going to tell us here is this. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So he just kind of lumped them together. Put off bitterness, he directly says. Instead, put on kindness. Put off wrath. Instead, put on being tender-hearted. Put off anger. Again, it appears again. Put on forgiveness. Put off clamor. We'll look at definitions for that when we get there. Put on kindness, evil speaking, put that off. Instead, put on kindness again. Again, that's my word just as a leading, because that's the first part of that verse that points to each of those aspects. And lastly, put off malice. Instead, put on kindness or the other things that are in there. So we see there are those things we're to put off, but there's always the counterpart. The work of the Holy Spirit should result in these right hand, these right column work in and through our lives. Now, we began this way back in chapter 1. Many of you committed to keeping notes. And some of you right now are hastily trying to write these down. And that's good. But let me share with you. Don't panic if you don't get these written down right now or if we don't have enough time to do it right now. You will see this list again. So don't panic right now. But what I want to share is this. It's on my heart to go slow through these. They are so practical, and there's so much to be gained from doing just that. And again, I want to go slow, not to condemn anyone, not to say, do these things and earn God's love or something, but rather, I want to go slow that we might avail ourselves of that which has set us free of those old things that we need to put off. Remember, the right-hand side, that's what the new man is to look like. So the challenge becomes, is it what you look like? Is the right-hand side what marks my life, your life? Or, truth be told, are we in the left-hand column in any way? as we choose to walk in the put-on side and the new man side, this list kind of gives us a roadmap. And it's going to point to how we're going to do this as we surrender to the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. Well, again, you'll see that list again. But make sure you see something here, and I want to point this out because we're going to refer to it a number of times as we go through this section. Make sure you see verse 30. Look at verse 30 again real quick. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. It is my plan in a future session here to go through that much more specifically, how we grieve the Holy Spirit, what it means to grieve the Holy Spirit, how to make sure we're not doing that at all. But just understand this right now. That is the key verse in all of this section. There are many reasons we are to put on the new man. Just the freedom from that old junk and the blessing that the putting on part is about. The blessings of being free of anger and wrath and lying and all these things. There's such a blessing in all those, of course. Blessings for our relationships and all. But the bottom line motivation to all of this is right there. What's he say? Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. We need to understand, when you lie, when I lie, when we are angry, when we are out of control, when we... any of these things, when clamor, evil speaking, bitterness, wrath, all those things come up, bottom line, we are grieving God. We are grieving the Holy Spirit of God. You ever thought of that way? That's rhetorical. Don't answer. But you ever thought about that? As the Lord who dwells inside every believer, the Holy Spirit's right there. As He watches us say the things we do and treat one another the way we do, it saddens Him. It grieves God. He's got better for us. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Well, let's begin to work our way through this list. And again, it'll be today and whatever weeks ahead as God might lead. Verse 25, we're going to go back now. Verse 25, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. So we're going to go back to that very first one, putting off lying and putting on truth. Oh, man. I sure wish so-and-so was here, don't you? Because this really doesn't apply to us. Oh, but I know somebody, if they could just hear this. Boy, they're always lying. Can't believe a word that comes out of their mouth. Oh, I wish, I say that facetiously, of course, teasing. Because too often we see these things and right away we're quick to excuse us. Interesting how bad our sins look on other people, but how excusable they look upon us. And it's really easy to think of someone else that might apply to. But don't, in today or any of these future weeks, if we go through this, don't seek to dodge the bullet. But let God speak to our hearts about this issue. Because we don't want to grieve Him. We don't want to come short of what He has. And so this first one says, put off lying, put on the truth. Speak the truth, live the truth is the calling. And that's interesting. Notice what tops the list of what should mark the new life in Jesus. He just got this saying, put on this new man. And what should mark that? It really shouldn't surprise us when you consider God's character, when you consider His nature. But the very first thing it says is this, put off lying, start speaking and living truthfully. Start letting your word be truth and let your word be your word. Be a man or woman of your word and speak truth. And what does that tell us, again, about what God, how God sees lying, how it grieves the Holy Spirit when we choose to lie? Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 to 19. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to Him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. Seven things that God says, these are an abomination to me. Definitely in that category of grieving Him. And if you look at it, you notice, two of the seven things have to do with lying. The second one, a lying tongue. And further on, the sixth one, a false witness who speaks lies. There can be no doubt how God feels about lying. Paul, in a companion passage to our passage today, over in Colossians 3, 9 and 10, he says, "Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him." So again, he drives home. He connects the new man, the new creation. We're creating the image of Christ now. That being the case, don't be lying to one another. So there's a connection here between lying, truthfulness, and being new creations. You see where it says putting away lying? The word lying here means this. Now, I don't know, do I really need to define lying? I'm going to do it, but I thought about this. You know, most people know what a lie is. But let's make sure. My understanding of the word translated lying here is pseudos, from pseudome. I'll let Tim correct me on that later. It means to lie. It describes an untrue statement, an intentional violation of the truth, a lie or a deception. That which is in the state of being untrue. Pseudos is the content of a false utterance. Pseudos, again, that's that word, is conscious and intentional falsehood. In a broad sense, the definition goes on, I pulled this from the definition thing. Pseudos is whatever is not what it seems to be or professes to be. Ouch. There is lying to other people. There is lying to ourselves. And there can even be attempts to lie to God. And we can do it so much, we begin to believe it. And we excuse it. Or we think, oh no, I really meant my intentions and all. Be careful. Because what it's saying here is, this is a word that means it's speaking lies and living lies. Speaking falsehood and living a falsehood. Putting up an image. Acting as something as if something is so that isn't. We're to put all that aside. One commentator said this: "We live in a nation of liars. We lie at the drop of a hat. A survey revealed that 91% of those surveyed lie routinely about matters they consider trivial, and 36% lie about important matters. 86% lie regularly to parents. 75% to friends, 73% to siblings, and 69% to spouses." Lying. Now, I Googled lying, statistics about lying, and they're all over the place, depending what survey you read, how often it occurs. I don't know. You get different figures, but this is pretty good. This is close to what I was reading about it. But and like one guy said, if you ever read the survey say we don't lie much, then people are probably lying about lying. And so let's just take a moment and let God speak to our hearts. And again, let's not try to just dodge the bullet. Because being a person of integrity and truthfulness is so important. And be careful we haven't got so used to it. Because, well, that's how you have to do business now. Or, well, it's no big deal. And be careful of those things. This is a challenge to all of us. I have a real thing about telling the truth and living truthfully. Let me explain to you something real quick, and hear the whole thing. Don't run for the door. I even went to I went to Kathy about this the other day. I knew what she'd say because we talked about it, but it's been a while. I asked Kathy, when you met me, see, back in my teen years, yes, I was a teen once for all of you who are young. I wasn't born this old, believe it or not. But back in those teen years and all through that time of my life, and up and I was a hippie. I was definitely, well, you don't need to hear about it. I'm not here to glorify that. But the things I did and the things I participated in and all those things, definitely we don't need to go there, but not good, not good. God definitely got a hold of this old guy. But there were some definitely not things that I did to people and everything else. But I went to Kathy and I said to her, I said, of all my sins and faults back then, what do you think of the what one outweighed everything else? Didn't take her long. She might have taken a breath. It might have taken a second. But I knew what she'd say. We talked about it because we've seen what God's done. But right away, she said, you are a liar. And I was. Oh, and I was good. I was good at it. Kathy's, she remembered. I'm not here bragging. I want you to see the change that God can work. I could have you, because I was good at words. And I could have you believe in just about anything. And pretty soon you're going, I guess it was my fault. Well, maybe you didn't say that. I mean, I could have you believe in you are purple with green stripes by the time I'm done. Yeah, I guess you're right. I was good at it. And convinced that you're the one that must have made the mistake or whatever. I'm not bragging about it, but that's how I was. But I began to see that love doesn't lie. And if you're going to have a relationship with someone, trust is built on truth. That's true vertically, it's true horizontally. If you're going to have solid relationships and marriage or anything, there's got to be truth. And I began to see that. And I got really convicted, and God did a work over a period of time where I really began to react and began to see. And that's the first thing you got to do this morning is see it. And call it for what it is. Quit excusing it and see it. Quit making light of it or just saying, well, no big deal. Everybody else does it. And see what comes out of our mouth. And see the hurt that is causing the Holy Spirit of God and others. But I had to come to see that. And I really became broken of it. And God worked a work there. I mean, so much so that I became super hyper to anything. I might even sound like an untruth. Or I was always real clear. Now, remember what I said? I'll be there at 10. And there'll be two people with us. And, you know, after a while, everybody goes, okay, we get the point. But I take this to heart. I don't claim to be a great expositor. And you can take me to task for a lot of things I need to work on, and people lovingly do. And that's okay because I need to hear it. But no one ever, people don't take me to task for heresy, and I thank God for that. No one's ever sat me down and said, you know, you're flat out, you're a heretic. But secondly, it really hits me hard if someone implies a lack of integrity. Because I think to be like Jesus, there's got to be truthfulness. And so a lot of faults I'm working on, and we'll get to those later on the list here too. But it really became important to me, we need to be people of integrity if we're going to be Christ-like. And it's going to start with our lying versus truthfulness. You might think that your lies are okay, because you don't call them lies, but they're lies, and they're not okay. They're hurting everyone around you, including yourself, and you're not getting away with anything. Most time people know it. They know they can't trust you. Certainly it's grieving the Holy Spirit. Being a person of truth and integrity is what we're called to do. Again, truth and trust go together. Why do we lie? Well, there's lots of excuses we might give about it. Well, I didn't want to hurt their feelings. It's no big deal. I wouldn't make the sale. If I had told that exactly like it is, my competitor's not telling the truth. If I do, I won't get the sale. There's so many things we can act like or give excuses to why we lie. But you know the bottom line reason we lie? Because we're born with a sin nature. You ever notice you don't have to teach children to lie? If you sat your two-year-old down and said, now, honey, you're not lying. I need to teach you how to lie. You come and see me. I want to hear about that one. But real early, they learned real quick, what? I got to lie to stay out of trouble. Well, all the things we come up with. I lie so someone will like me. I want to impress you. All those things, we do. But the bottom line is because we are sinners by nature, and that's the point. It points back to the sin nature that's been broken. We lie because we don't trust God. That God can take care of me and my name or whatever I think. I have no name. But God can take care. I don't have to See, we lie to get approval. But it's approval built on a lie. We want to impress, but it's impression built upon a lie. And we know it's a lie. So it serves us no good way, but truth. See, when I speak the truth, then I can look to God to take care of me. When I speak the truth, I stay under His covering in that situation. God, You can provide the sales in my business. But if I step out and start lying, then the Lord says, well, have at it. And I step out from under His covering, and I'm open to everything. But Satan, it says, is the father of lies. And it grieves the Holy Spirit of God. And again, be careful, because I know we can sit there and say, well, I don't lie. But did you know there are exaggeration is a lie when you exaggerate something. Embellishment. Well, I just want to make the story more interesting. So I told him I did this. Did you do that? Well, not really. But it was kind of like this. I always have a problem with pastors who speak evangelistically, I call it. You ever people speak evangelistically? How many guys were outreach? How many people were there? Oh, then 500. Everybody else sitting around going, well, maybe there was 100. Well, I just want to get people excited. No need to. Just speak the truth. But be careful. Exaggeration, embellishments. Again, we think there's no such thing as a little white lie. Show me that one in Scripture. Stop lying, except for the little white ones. There's no such thing as a little white lie. Your character and the Lord's testimony and all rest upon being truthful. Be a person of your word. Again, we can be so quick to say the other people, this person, I wish they were there. Let us, Lord, speak to us this morning that we put on truth. Lord, and let this Lord speak to you. Lord, I got to confess, I do embellish. Or there are lies of omission. You can lie through not saying anything. You can let stand something you know isn't true, but you don't say anything, especially when it's something about you. Well, let them think that about me. It doesn't really harm anything. Why? No, that's a lie. If something is declared about you that's not true, you step up and say, no. And I know it's hard. All of a sudden, you're in a situation where the peers around. Hey, have you? Trust God to take care of us and just be a person of your word. And you know what? People respect that. And they'll come to you later on and say, you know what? I know I can trust you. I need some counsel from you. But see that, because if we lie, we're grieving the Holy Spirit. But if we're truthful, then God can work in us and through us and point to us. The end does not justify the means. Well, it's okay to do that. It all worked out. Yeah, but look how you got there. Again, you know you lied. I read about one, I think it was Martin Luther or somebody, one time somebody lied to him, was it? Anyway, and he said, you know what makes me sad? Not that you lied to me. He said, what really makes me sad is now I'll never be able to trust you again. How am I going to know? How am I going to know when the next time you're going to lie? The one lie, I can live through that, but that shows me you're capable of doing that. So how am I going to know? And by the way, just as a sidelight, it's a pet peeve. Here I am. I'll just give you a pet peeve of mine. My staff knows this. Have you ever had somebody say to you, well, you know, to tell you the truth, have you ever anybody talking to you like that? They're talking to you, and you're talking about some things, and you're going along for a while, and say, well, you know, to tell you the truth, I've stopped, and I go, hold it. Does that mean everything up till now was a lie? To tell you the truth, wait a minute, haven't you been doing that already? Should I have to announce, oh, you know what, I'm about to tell you the truth. Okay, now you really got me concerned. So I always, Kathy's smiling up. You know, I cringe when I hear people. Well, to tell you the truth, what? Shouldn't you have been doing that all along? Let your yay be yay and stand for the truth. I trust God to speak into some of us. He got hold of me and had to break me of it. And it's something I take very, very highly, the idea of integrity. Well, you've been good students. We've sat here for a while now. But know this. When we lie, again, it grieves the Holy Spirit of God within us. The Holy Spirit is called in John 15:26, the Spirit of Truth. And He indwells us. And when we lie, it's unlike our Lord. It's unlike his very nature and character. And we're going to see later on, Lord willing, not today, but future study, hopefully, what it means to grieve the Holy Spirit. You don't want to be doing that. But notice the motive now. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Now notice that. Paul points to, look, don't be doing this. Speak truth to one another, because we are members. We are of the same body, all believers. We are members of one another. Again, the physical body needs to speak truth to itself, doesn't it? If the body doesn't speak truth to itself, bad things will happen. Nerves must not lie. Oh, that fire's not hot. Leave your hand in the fire. No problem. Ah! Gotta lose some fingers real quick that way. No, you want your body to tell the truth to you. Well, that's the example he gives here. Treat each other the way you want to be treated. We need to speak truth to one another for our sake, for testimony's sake, and to please the Lord and grieve not the Holy Spirit. Now, of course, he earlier in the chapter said, speak the truth in love. Not truth as a weapon, but as a point of communication and connection. Always say like you want to hear it. And may I throw out there, understand the difference between truth and opinion. Is that a car? Yes, that's a fact. That's a truth. That's a car. Do you like that car? That's the ugliest car ever. That's an opinion. Hey, dude, I'm going to tell you something. You got the ugliest car in the world. Why are you saying that? Well, I have to tell you the truth. Wait a minute. Understand the difference between truth and opinion. But truth is truth, and speak it. Don't water it down. Don't change it. Don't embellish upon it. Just speak it, and speak it in love. Proverbs 12:22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight. What do you want to be? When you go home, dealing with your mate, your friends, when you're at school, when you're at work, when you're doing business, do you want to be an abomination or do you want to be a delight? It starts with speaking and living the truth. Remember, verse 30 tells us that lying grieves the Holy Spirit. The call is to get in touch with who lives inside of us, believers. Really think about who lives inside of us. If you really stop to think about God indwells me, His Holy Spirit lives. If we do that, watch how a lie feels. When you start sensing the Holy Spirit right inside you, right there with you, when you start speaking a lie, you watch, and all the alarms start going off if we're paying attention. We can see why it grieves the Holy Spirit, because it is the opposite of God's nature, and it's the opposite of His desire for us. Going to invite the worship team up now. We're going to spend some time responding to the Lord in worship. But as we respond to the Lord, I also want to give you an opportunity to respond to what you've heard. And I'm going to say it flat out. Do you need to repent of lying? Even sitting there, and maybe you're trying to say, oh, it's not that bad. Just let God speak about if you're a person of your word. Is it time to repent of not always being truthful? Is it time for you to put on the new man of telling and living the truth? Do it today. The altar will be available. If that's, and I think for some, it needs to be a point of saying, today I put on the new man of telling the truth. So the altar is going to bug you up here if you want to come up and deal with that with God. Deal with it where we're sitting. But let's be people that speak the truth to one another. Heavenly Father, I think of Jesus declaring that He is the way, the truth, and the life. Father, we think of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth indwelling us. We think of You setting before us directly how You see the importance of living the truth, speaking the truth with one another. Lord, search our hearts and help us to see. Is there any way we've been less than truthful? Help us not to dodge this all-important bullet, Lord, but in Your love, minister this new freedom, this new work, the new man to every heart, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.